Hey, look at this. A She Will Rock You interview.
Oh
I
my God,
know.
we're back.
It's been a while. It's been a while. And like we mentioned on a couple of our episodes, it may be a little slower with the interviews this year, but we want to bring you like the best of the best. And that's what we do here. And of course, we had to bring back friend of the pod, Brenda Carsey, because she just released a new album and it's baller.
Woohoo!
Yeah. So we talked with Brenda Carsey again. She is doing some really cool things out in California. This album is definitely one of them, but she does a lot of shows. So she's definitely one to check out. But without further ado, because you don't want to hear me babble. I mean, you hear me babble all the time. I get tired of hearing myself babble. Leah gets tired, I'm sure, but she's a good friend, so she won't say
You
Even
can't
then,
see. I'm giving thumbs up.
she's silent. Anyway, I'm
I'm waiting to
Megan.
say my name. Oh shit. Redo
I'm leaving that in, just so you
that.
know, because I
And
know
I'm
I'm gonna
Leah.
leave. No. Now we gotta take a breath. I'm Beth Ann.
And I'm Leah.
And this is She Will Rock You.
Where are they getting a dove in a CBS executive meeting?
No.
Bitch, don't touch my thermostat.
The ghost be like, hold up, before I haunt you, let me turn down the thermostat.
Who is this man?
We're on page one, guys.
This is She Will Rock You.
All right, so we are here again with friend of the pod, Brenda Carsey. How are you doing?
I'm doing really great. How are you?
Doing good. Surviving that winter that's for some reason hitting California.
Yeah, it's been insanely cold and lots of snow in the mountains in front of me that are maybe 4,000 feet high at the highest, and they're just covered.
That's just wild.
Yeah, it's been amazing though. I kind of like it, except for when the wind comes in and then there's a wind chill because that's the worst.
Oh yeah,
But
100%.
yeah.
One. See, being from New York, we had nor'easters that were like 2 feet of snow. So like, I remember it being like negative temperatures and things like that, and that wind chill when it hits, it's like, hey, you might as well just get pelted with like an icicle at that point.
Right.
You know
This
what I
is why I
mean?
will never move north of the Mason-Dixon line. That sounds terrible.
I'm okay with it personally. I like it cold, but you know, you just learn to live with
Yeah.
it.
I
It's
feel
not
like it's something
terrible.
where maybe we could all move there when we're in our 50s and we're going through menopause,
Like
like hot,
a
where we have
reverse
hot
Florida
flashes.
move,
Yes.
essentially,
Yeah.
because
For like,
everyone from
there's
the
like,
north moves to Florida.
yeah. So there's like a solid, like, 10 to 15 years where you can move somewhere really cold and just be living your best
I
life.
would love that. I think that's a future for me because I feel like I'm cold-blooded in nature. I'm always wanting to be cold because I hate running hot. Anyway, maybe I'll return back to my homeland. We'll see. I wouldn't make Leah happy, but
No.
So what's been going on since we last talked? I know we have an album to discuss, but any cool shows that have happened?
Yeah, I haven't like I've done a couple of runs up and down the coast in California, but I haven't really left the state yet because everything was just costing me so much money
Yeah.
that I just couldn't manage to leave. But yeah, the album came out and I've done like basically each single I released last year, I did a really big show for locally. I was a little more like strategic about shows last year. So I did like a bunch of really big shows and then when the album came out, it just came out January 9th. It's called Cognizance. And I did like a huge show for that. It was so much fun. And I had an 11-piece band. I had like two friends of
Wow.
mine open for
Yeah.
me. I wore this absolutely absurd outfit
That
that
outfit though, because I remember seeing the video from it. That was such a cool outfit.
Thank you. It was something I found at a vintage store 4 years ago, and it had just sat in my closet waiting for the
Waiting
right
for the moment.
moment. Yes.
That's so cool. And speaking of cool outfits, I have to talk about this album cover. I have this at last, but I feel like we need to talk about this first. This album cover, when me and Leah saw it, we both had the same reaction. It was like, oh, ooh. We were so excited because we're
Oh.
nerds. We're marketing nerds. We get excited about cool
Oh.
colors.
Thank you.
But what was kind of the inspiration behind the album cover? Do you have those cool like makeup eyes or like
Yeah.
actual illusion eyes?
I definitely wanted it to be a little bit retro because I feel like the music is a little bit retro. I mean, it's very modern, it's mixed modern, the microphones are modern, like it has a polish of being from the now. But as far as like Just listen to it out there, all you guys listening to this. When you hear it, you'll be like, okay, we get it now. But it has like kind of this retro edge. And so I wanted the front cover, like, I love the 70s as an example. And it's like 60s and 70s, it's always just the person's face on the cover. But I didn't want to sit there all awkwardly like, hey, it's me.
Fading photo of your face.
Right.
Looking off.
Yeah. Exactly. So I turned it into more of like a... just a representation of like meditation and of like presence and awareness. And that's why the weird makeup, because I can still see even though my eyes are closed, and like there's like a couple of layers to it. And then the posture, like the way that I'm holding my hands is actually a nod to David Bowie from the shoot he did for Ziggy Stardust. There's one photo. I mean, he doesn't physically look anything like that at all. Nothing else. The color scheme, what I'm wearing, nothing else looks like it. It's just the way I'm standing, and the hands is totally just like a baby nod to him. So for people who are hip to that, they would know that. And now you all know it.
I love it. I absolutely love it. And going on that retro feel, I know we talked about this on the last time you were on the show last year, but the first thing that strikes me about the album is the chords, because I love a unique chord. I am a sucker for a jazz flat six. Like, I love it. And that's kind of one of my questions that I wanted to talk off right off the bat is like, you know, like for the songwriting process, like either from a musical progression standpoint or just overall process, because I know you had a couple singles, like what does that process look like from single going into an album? Because there's this cohesiveness that's there and this flow that I feel like when I was listening came from the chords and the way it went into song after song.
Oh, it was definitely written like more as an album. And then the singles were just to play the modern music industry game of releasing singles to kind of get people to pay attention to the album, and also to not just put an entire album on the internet and just be like, there you go. Like, it kind of gives it more longevity and you have more time to like share it and let it spread its wings a little, you know, slowly. But yeah, no, it's definitely... an adventure, and like in regards to chords, it definitely starts like very like positive and major chords and major sevenths and ninths and seven, then it goes into like a very intensely depressing deep middle part of the album, which one of the singles came from that part, and then it goes back up, you know what I mean? Like, as a good album should. It's like a journey of emotion and feeling and subject matter and all that.
So let's talk about the lyrics itself, because you know, you kind of talk a little bit about that dip that's in there, and I definitely hear that, and I feel like your lyrics also reflect that. And you have some really cool like metaphors that you play with. There's one song where you're talking about meat being dragged, and it was some really cool imagery that you don't really
see a lot in songs. Oh my gosh. Can I just tell you, without you even knowing, you just segued into something we should absolutely talk about that you don't know about. So that song that you're referencing is called Unfortunate Men.
Yes.
And, it's, you never felt like a piece of dead flesh that's been poked and prodded, which is really intense, obviously. In the context of a song, it doesn't sound quite as intense as just speaking it aloud. Sure. But I have a music video coming out for that song on March 14th. So super soon and super new, and it's gorgeous and so painful and so intense. I'm very excited to share
awesome.
It. Yeah. And
these little tidbits you can give us about the music video?
It's all animation.
Ooh,
it's not nice. Like human acting, because I feel like sometimes with like human acting, it can get too literal.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Like, you'll be like directly reflecting the lyrics, like too spot on. But I worked with a really talented illustrator named Sharon Like, and they animated the whole thing, drew it frame by frame, and like put it together. And it's just,
that's amazing.
It's perfect. It's something I could never do in a million years.
That's so cool. Whenever, it comes out, we'll definitely share it, because I definitely want to see that.
Yay. Yeah, I'm so excited. I'm just excited to like uplift someone else's art too, because she's really, really talented.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, totally. I love when artists work together in a collaborative environment. It's the best thing. But yeah, for lyrics though, do you have any like inspiration that like sparks for you? I know we talked a little bit, it's just, it comes to you. That is just how, do you ever feel like you're searching for lyrics? Like, I know I want to write about this subject. Mm-hmm. And how do I get there?
Not normally, again, as an artist, no. I think that may happen more if you're like in a writing room or if you're songwriting for other people. Mm-hmm. I think like if you're just sitting down and I'm just talking about myself as just like a singer songwriter, it does kind of just reflect how I'm feeling or what I'm thinking about. So maybe if anything, you'd be tweaking words to like get rhyming or to get your like consonants to match so that there's like a good like rhythm going on and like what you're saying. So I think it'd be more like tweaking than me being like, I'm going to sit down and write this song today for myself. Like it normally it just is a direct reflection of where I'm at and what's happening.
Absolutely. And I know this is like the worst question in the world, but do you have a favorite lyric from that album?
Favorite lyric from that album? I don't even know. No one's asked me that yet.
Asking the hard hitting questions.
That's what we do here. We ask the hard hitting, the confusing questions.
Oh my gosh. I honestly don't know. I feel like I'd have to open my own website and go to my lyrics page and read all my lyrics because I just like have no idea. I mean, it's winter right now. This one, there's one that says, closer than a winter storm, thoughts come to swallow. There's one of those, and that's pretty like, it paints a picture in the mind. I think of snow swallowing up your body, but also of that being like how your inner space could be sometimes. Maybe.
I like that. Hey, that's on brand for what's happening now in California.
Yeah.
It's
and honestly, unfortunate men, like I really do think that's just because we're talking about it. It is a very intense song where some of the lyrics are very specific and explicit and some of them are more like metaphorical, like you were saying.
Yeah.
So maybe just that song and the line I said earlier that I don't want to repeat because it's so intense.
Yeah, I understand. No, I think that's what's so cool about this album. Like you were saying, you have a mixture in your songwriting process. It's not like here's point A to point B, so to speak, that you sometimes run into. I love this mixture that you're doing and pulling all the allegories in. Like, I love lyrics that make me think. Like, it feels like poetry. Mm. Like, those are the best lyrics, in my opinion.
Yeah, same. I like that too.
So as far as for like, the recording process, like how long did it take start to finish?
Oh man. Do we want to include writing the songs or just recording and releasing?
Let's do it. The whole process.
I feel like writing started in 2018. Maybe one of the songs was like the end of 2017, maybe, I think. Cause I wrote one of them in Nashville on a trip out there. But yeah, like it was like sprinkled because I didn't sit down and I was like, I'm going to write an album start to finish. I just write songs. Sure. And then as the songs unravel, they normally have like relationship to one another just because I'm alive and it's like a reflection of life. You know what I mean? But yeah, so I would say like 2018 it started. And then I was like playing a lot and I had just released an album in 2017. So I was focusing on that album and playing that and touring that, but naturally kind of write other songs amidst all that going on. And, but yeah, so 2018, 2019, and then the very end of 2019, I did a crowdfunding thing to like raise money to go into the studio in 2020, which would have been like 2.5 years after my last album, like going into the studio, which isn't that long, really. It's pretty fast turnaround time, especially for independent artists with like no resources and stuff. But I did that and that was the plan. And then that obviously got canceled and postponed because of the shutdown and all that stuff, which we won't dwell on. It's just part of our lives now. But so then I was postponed another year in like a couple months. So that was just me waiting, frustratingly waiting, having like a whole album, knowing every song that was on it, knowing like what instrumentation I wanted on it. Like I was ready. We were ready to go. So we just waited patiently. Or impatiently, I should say. Yeah. And then we finally went in top of May of 2021. So that's when we actually finally physically went into the studio to record. We recorded the entire album in 9 days. So really fast.
Wow.
Yeah, it was amazing. I like wanted that kind of a rock star moment and experience. I'd never done that before where I just rented a studio entirely. So like, no, like the instruments weren't moved, like the mics weren't moved. Like it was just my space for that whole chunk of time. And then just scheduled all the instrumentalists to come and all that stuff so that we could keep on schedule and like keep pushing. But yeah, so really fast, only 9 days. And then we mixed like once every 3 weeks. I don't know, like, you know, the, he had a job and I have jobs and we're all busy and stuff like that. So the mixing definitely is what takes the longest of all time. It's, you're like, God, can we just be done with this? But we finished mixing in, I believe it was like late August of 21. And then everything was done being mastered by November of 21. And then I was just like plotting and planning and all the fun stuff, as you two marketing people can understand. So I was just like, how do I do this? When do I do this? Why do I do this? So that, like, I just took pause and took time to make sure I didn't rush, you know, all the work that we had just done.
Yeah.
And then we started releasing in June of 22 and released like from June till the end of the year. And then the top of the year, this album finally came out.
Yeah. And I think what you just said there was so important, not rushing through the process. Cause I think in, especially I would imagine in the recording space, it's so easy to be like, all right, you need to like, you feel this algorithm on top of you called Spotify. And you're like, I just got to get it out. I got to get my content out. And I think that's really cool about the quality. And when you're talking about the mixing part taking forever, there's this band I like, they recorded their album and they finished like January, 2020. And they had the pandemic, of course, but they were mixing that album for 2 years.
Whoa.
Jeez. 2 years. And one of the members says, I don't even still like the mix. He's like, I don't think they pulled the right mix. And
oh no.
Yeah. So I,
Mixing is an art. Mixing and mastering. They're both like the art, or I guess maybe not art, but they're like, it's like a craft.
It really is.
Yeah.
You got to have like such an attuned ear and you think like, you know, cause I've done some audio stuff. It's like, oh, it's, you know, easy. Anyone could do it. Pull up a YouTube video. No, it's
no,
like, you can learn. Sure. But like,
you can learn it. I think so. Actually, I think, yeah, you can definitely learn it, but I do think that there is a little bit of like being born with the ears.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. Do you have any fun stories or interesting stories from recording?
I mean, it was just such a whirlwind, to be honest, because I was the MD and the producer and everything. It was more than I should have done, just flat out. But I was just, I think the funnest times is just like when you take lunch break and you get to hang out with everyone on the record and just like eat food and like goof off and be weird. There'd be times where the engineer would like go play drums for a minute, and that was always cute. The one, actually, you know what, like probably... I mean, the whole thing was really fun, but probably one of my most favorite parts was the last day of recording. I had a, oh my gosh. And this goes back to Unfortunate Men yet again, which I'm unintentionally continuing to market that music video comes out.
Do it. You gotta March do 14th. It. Plug it in.
So I had five of my girlfriends come in, and we did like a women's choir, which you hear on the song.
Yes.
And what we did is we had, so the five of them plus me, so the six of us, and we would like do a take, and then we'd like layer it, and then do another take, and then we'd layer it and layer it. So it just sounded like a gigantic choir. And we were doing like an octave lower where no one could barely reach the notes, and like an octave higher, like crazy operatic, like, you know, church ladies or something. And it was so much fun having them there, because up until that point, except for my violinist, the entire staff I was working with was male. Which was totally fine. And they're all fantastic. And that's, there's no judgment about that. But like when the five ladies came in, I was like, oh my gosh, I forgot what it was like to have female energy for a moment. Like it was so like explosive and like energetic and like beautiful and huggy. And I was like, oh my God, I missed this. I forgot. Cause it was also so kind of the shutdown. Like it was early 2021. Like we weren't like partying yet. Like that wasn't until like a little bit later in the year, you know? So I was just like, oh my gosh, a group of women. I forgot what this is like.
Oh, I love that. Yeah. Like,
it was great.
There's always power in when you get group singing. Like Leah knows, she's done choir. I've done choir. There's something about when voices unify in one. It's just, it's always a special moment.
There's nothing like it.
Yeah.
So you're on the promo trail. And so have you had any cool shows coming up or any album related events you want to highlight?
Nothing that's gigantic. I always have tons of shows. I'm a full-time musician, so people can go to my Bands in Town. I think that would be probably the safest bet. Look me up on Bands in Town, or you could just go to my website, brendacarseyart.com, and go to like see or like live, whatever. Yeah, nothing that's like big. All the stuff I'm doing right now is like solo stuff, singer-songwriter stuff, or like I have like trio shows with like me and two singers, which are amazing. They're all super fun. And I think people should come if they want to. I will be starting to book tour dates in like all of March. I'm going to just book tour basically for later in the year, because I definitely want to get out into the rest of the country.
Yeah.
Because it's been a long time. So it's kind of like a TBD, TBA. Stay tuned. Follow my bands in town. It's coming, I promise.
So as far as for where can people find you? Where can they follow this journey that you're on?
I think that Instagram is probably the platform I still prefer and enjoy the most. Or my website. I'm really, really active and on top of updating my artist website, because I like being able to own and house my own website where I'm not like making a corporation millions of dollars for posting content on their website. But yeah, so my website, brendacarciart.com, has everything you could ever dream of on it. I'm also on all the things too, so wherever, but every streaming platform on there, Bandcamp, I'm really avid about that platform and utilize that a lot. And then like all the socials, TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, etc. We're on them all.
Awesome. Well, thanks for joining us. Everyone go listen to her album Cognizance. It is a bop. You're going to love it. Like, please go listen to it. But Brenda, thank you again for coming on the show.
Yeah,
loved having you here.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening. Be sure to leave us a review on Apple Podcasts if you enjoyed the show. Special thanks to Death of Fawn for our intro riff. You can visit our website at sheorocku.com. There you can find links to our socials, the show notes, and you can reach out to us and contact us. And remember, don't do drugs.